Welcome to another episode of Daughters of Mormonism. I'm your host, Sybil. Today, I'll be responding to Michael Otterson's recent post entitled, What Mormon Equality Looks Like. He begins his post by saying, if the statement were made in my congregation that women are, quote, inferior in the eyes of God, unquote, both women and men would be appalled. Well, of course we would. To have that be spoken directly from the pulpit, women are inferior in the eyes of God? Yes, of course we would be appalled. But how many would find themselves understanding where that statement might come from? You're right, it probably wouldn't be spoken from the pulpit. Instead, we'd probably be given this message indirectly through, let's say maybe an article by the head of PR for the church. Okay, I'm being a little snarky. But what about all the countless little things? Like Russell M. Nelson's talk a while ago about how all of the mothers and daughters and wives and everyone are waiting for the men to come home from priesthood session of General Conference, and they're making donuts, and it's just, oh, because they're just understanding how important this all is. And what do the men do while their wives are at the Relief Society session, Do they sit around making fondue, waiting for the women to come home and tell them all of the great things that the brethren imparted to them, or that the sisters imparted to them? I don't think so. Then he goes on to say, the same reaction could be expected from any of the nearly 30,000 congregations of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints worldwide. He's probably right. We probably would be appalled if they said that directly. He goes on to say, rather than give a male perspective, which he will give anyway because he's male, but he says, however, I put this question to three women in my church and asked them for their own insights on how they see their role in life in the church. He's asked three women, and we're going to find out who these three women are in just a moment. But first of all, does asking three women who were very likely handpicked, especially once he talks about who they are, they were handpicked for being high ups, you know? They were handpicked. I don't think this group is very representative, and definitely not representative of women who are very concerned about the issue of equality in the Mormon church for women. So what if he were to have asked three women who blog on feminist Mormon housewives? He would have gotten a very different response, but instead he picked people who were very cemented into how things work. Okay, so here's who he says they are. One is a prominent blogger and social commentator. Okay. The other is the CEO of a substantial business. Okay. And the third is a woman prominent in the international church leadership. Do you feel represented? Do you feel like these are you? Do you feel like these women would know how to represent you? I personally don't. I think if he had picked women who were more representative and asked them, he would have gotten, well, less careful responses, probably, because these women all know how to play the game. They know how to say things the right way so that they don't lose the little piece of power that they've gained. Okay, so here's what he says. Here are their points about life as a Mormon woman. Okay, the first point is, women in the Mormon faith regularly preach from the pulpit to the congregation and lead prayers during Sunday services. Pausing here. First of all, we don't call it preaching. It's called giving a talk. And it's because your bishop or your first counselor or somebody called you and said, hello, sister so-and-so, we would like you and your husband, is usually how it goes, to speak to us this Sunday on, pick a topic, faith. So then, this is my experience. When this woman gets up to speak, she speaks first. And she gives the story of how she and her husband met, and what their children are like, and what he does for a living. And then she talks a little bit about their topic. She gives a few nice stories, and then she sits down. And then he gets up for the longer portion of the meeting and gives the doctrinal whatever. Why? I don't know, but it sure happens a lot. So not always, but often, this is the way that women, quote, preach from the pulpit to the congregation. So then it goes on to say, as a result of regularly preaching from the pulpit to the congregation and leading prayers during Sunday services, as a result, today's Latter-day Saint women tend to be well-educated and confident. Okay, as a result, I wouldn't say that giving talks and prayers in church results in education and confidence. I'm not following this line of thought. As a result, because we get up and talk to the people a little bit, because we give a prayer, we're educated and confident. I don't think so. I'm really not following that. He goes on. Most have the experience of speaking in public, directing or presiding over organizations, teaching and leading by example. Sure, Next, he says, Brigham Young University turns out more female than male graduates. Well, what does it say about BYU? I'd like to see how the numbers work on this one. Just for the flip side, I do know that as far as faculty goes, BYU is very largely male. It is not highly representative of women in the faculty. Moving on. Men and women are equal in the eyes of God, equal halves of a divine pair and equal partners in his work, which includes the raising of families. Okay, as soon as I read that, I have to admit, the thing that came to mind was, which is why men sit on the stand and leave their wives with the kids during sacrament meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, divine and equal and raising their families. Yeah, I remember growing up, I didn't see my dad very much. You know why? He was in the high council and then later in the state presidency. My little sister, who's quite a bit younger than I am, I remember talking to her once about, well, do you remember dad when? And she said, no, I don't really have very many memories of dad. Because the time I was referring to was before he was called to the high council. And she wasn't alive then. She wasn't born yet. All during her growing up, she didn't see much of him. Why? Oh, because men and women are equal in the eyes of God, equal halves of a divine pair and equal partners in his work, which includes the raising of families. No, he wasn't here raising the family much. He was a good father. He was. And he was a good man. But we didn't see much of him. He says, inside the family, men and women are obligated to help one another. Women are honored as possessors of the ultimate divine gift, the potential to create and nurture new life. And Mormons have unique beliefs that men and women need one another to return to live with God. Okay, this is an oblique reference to sealing in the temple. And really, this whole little piece that he's given here, it's all very nice sounding and very vague. It's not really saying anything. It's basically saying, we're supposed to help each other, women can have babies, and we should stick together so that we can go back to God. But that's not really saying anything about equality. Not really. And if you think it is saying something direct about equality, please comment in the comment section on this post, because I really am not following this. His next point says, everyone, male and female, adult and child, has equal and direct access to God through prayer for inspiration, personal guidance, and forgiveness of sins. As soon as I read this one, immediately came into my mind the talk by Elder Oaks last fall about how the priesthood line trumps the personal line. Is he forgetting this talk? Okay, so if someone prays and gets guidance, and it's not what the men are saying, it's not what the male leaders, the brethren, are saying, then they're being answered by the wrong source, according to Oaks. So really, you're better off just listening to what the men say. That way you'll always know what you're being told to do. If you try to pray and listen to God, well, then you might not have your line in line. And so if your line isn't in line with the priesthood line, well, then you're probably being led by the adversary or Satan or something. You have to check and make sure things match up. So actually, having direct and equal access to God through prayer. No, pretty much the priesthood leaders are very highly recognized for having better access to God through prayers for inspiration, guidance, and forgiveness of sins, and so forth. If you need to go talk to the bishop to repent of something, yeah, whose inspiration wins there? Well, his does. Why? Because he has leadership over you. He's male, he has the priesthood, and he has leadership. So I really don't buy this one. In fact, after Oaks's talk, it pretty much just takes me off. Moving along. He says, a couple of weeks ago, one of the members of the 12 Apostles of the Church, addressing a worldwide conference of church members, quoted author Wallace Stegner. Stegner was not particularly kind to the church, but he did acknowledge one thing. Their women are incredible, he said. Okay, so let's just break this down. Here we have one of the top male leaders of the church, an apostle, in a church that, by the way, does not allow for female leaders in this same sense. We have no female apostles. Okay, so we have this male leader who is quoting a male, Wallace Stegner, and then the male PR man is quoting them. So we have a bunch of men saying that the women are incredible. What does this mean? To me, it feels pretty condescending. Yeah, we're incredible, but we're not equal. We're incredible because we will do so much work. We're incredible because we will put on a funeral at the drop of a hat. My mom was a Relief Society president for a while. I watched her during a particularly strange dying era in her ward put on, I think, 4 funerals in 1 week with the help of all the women in the Relief Society. Yeah, that was incredible. That was amazing. But what is this really saying? The women are incredible. That makes me feel like, okay, we're incredible, how does that relate to us being equal in the church? Okay, he goes on to say of this statement by Stegner that women are incredible. He was right. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would not be nearly the organization it is today without the women who comprise more than half of its adult membership. Boy, isn't that the truth? Because how would all the work get done? If women were not so invested in the church would not be nearly the organization it is today. I agree with that 100%, but I don't believe that this is because women and men are equal in the church. Not at all. Remember, the title of the post is What Mormon Equality Looks Like. If this is what Mormon equality looks like, it doesn't look too good. It reminds me of something that Sue Monk Kidd said in Dance of the Dissident Daughter. So I'm quoting from her now. She says, while at a party, the subject of women's dedication to the church came up. But for all our dedication, we've certainly gotten a rotten deal, I said. A man rolled his eyes at the ceiling. Oh, no, he said. You're not one of those women, are you? What women? I asked. You know, those screaming feminists who are always yelling about how bad women have been treated. No, I told him as fast as I could. I'm not one of those. And I dropped the subject as if it was toxic waste. But she's making a really good point here. For all our dedication, we've certainly gotten a rotten deal. Yeah, we do a ton of the work, and then we still get told what to do. And we still take care of the kids while the men are off at the meetings. In general conference, when the women have their meeting, who speaks? Who's the keynote? Who's the one that everyone's waiting for? The men. When the men have their meeting, who's the keynote? Who are they waiting to hear speak? The men. In general conference, how many women speak? Maybe 3, maybe 4. How many men speak? A bunch. Yeah? Okay, so, but, you know, they're equal. This is what Mormon equality looks like. I want to read one more piece from Sue Monk Kidd's book, The Dance of the Dissident Daughter. This is what she says. Once, when I led a discussion at a mixed gender retreat, a couple of women began to express their pain as women within Christianity. A male clergyman, who I suspect was feeling uncomfortable, said, "Oh, come on, the church is human, it makes mistakes, why can't you just forgive and be done with it?" I'm not sure he realized what he'd done, brilliantly trivializing and dismissing their feelings. I mean, who could argue with what he said? Yes, the church is human, yes, it makes mistakes, yes, forgiveness is good. There is a time to be gentle and a time to be fierce. And each of the two women managed to be both at the same time. Each spoke fierce things with a tone of gentleness. One said, "Must you focus on my need to forgive and let go? I'm not yet at a place where I can do that. I really need to express what's inside me, and I need the church to listen. Why not go to the heart of it and focus on the church's need to repent and change?" The other woman said, "Think a moment. If men were at the bottom and women were the ones in charge, if our theology tended to give us the power and excluded you, if it deified the feminine only, would you still be saying the church is only human? Why don't you just let it go?" It's kind of interesting to think about what equality looks like in the Mormon church, especially because there have been a number of pieces that have found their way through Dialogue. I remember there's one in Dialogue, and then also on the internet where people have written a role reversal scenario in the church where the women are the ones that are in charge and what that would look like. And it's pretty interesting how fast it reveals the condescension and the inequality that are just inherent in the very way that things are run. I think that Otterson's piece here is very carefully written to say almost nothing, because he's not dealing with any of the equality issues that are actually of concern. He's not dealing with any of them. Instead, he's saying nice PR type things. Well, there we have it. There's my response to Otterson's piece. Thanks for listening to Daughters of Mormonism. I invite you to respond at daughtersofmormonism.blogspot.com. Also, if you have ideas for future episodes, I would love to hear about them. Thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music.